A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously every day. Lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come to lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. From the netherworld, when he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you were tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father Abraham, send to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded should someone rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Today, Jesus presents us with a truly unforgettable gospel. Who among us is not moved when we hear the story of Lazarus, covered with sores, being licked and molested by dogs, longing to eat just the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table? Who among us is not moved by the desperation of the rich man after he dies, which he's in torment, thirst, eaten by worry about his brothers? What moves us all the more is not simply the state each of them is in, but the fact that each was totally avoidable. In the parable, the rich man went to hell, not because he was rich, not because he had earned his money in an immoral way, not because he had been asked by Lazarus for help and refused, not because he had sent dogs to lick Lazarus' wounds, or had done anything at all evil to Lazarus. He went to hell because when there was a poor man at his gate, he simply did nothing. He was condemned, not because of anything he had done, but precisely because of what he hadn't done. He was so caught up in himself that he didn't make any effort at all to help out a man who was struggling and dying in his midst. He simply ignored him. In St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus made clear that when he judges us, he will separate us into two groups on the basis of how we have treated the poor and the needy in our midst. To those on his right who are saved, he will say, "Come, you who were blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty you gave me something to drink, naked and you clothed me, a stranger you welcomed me, ill and you comforted me, in prison and you visited me." But to those on his left, he will declare with great regret, Depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and thirsty, and you told me to get a job. I was naked, and you gawked at me in pornographic imagery. I was a stranger, and you asked me what color card I was carrying in my pocketbook. I was ill, and you said, too bad you don't have health care. I was in prison, and you said, she deserves to die. Those who are condemned will ask, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, naked, ill, a stranger, or a prisoner, and not minister to your needs? Jesus said, he will reply, as often as you fail to do this to one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you fail to do it to me. The rich man went to hell because in neglecting the dying poor man at his doorstep, he was neglecting God himself. In failing to love his neighbor, he was failing to love God, and even failing to love himself. So many Catholics are accustomed to thinking about how God wants us to change simply in terms of the bad behavior we know he wants us to excise from our life. We think of sin just in terms of commissions, the bad thoughts we have, the malicious or mendacious words we say, the wayward deeds we commit. But as we noted at the beginning of today's Mass, those are not all of the sins we commit. We confess to Almighty God and to each other that we have sinned not just in our thoughts, words, and what we have done, but what I have failed to do. Few of us spend much time, however, examining ourselves on these failures. We omit the omissions, the acts of love we should have done but didn't. We can become like the husband who doesn't cheat on his wife, doesn't beat his wife, doesn't do any type of evil to her, but who never tells her he loves her, who doesn't make time for her, who omits what's most important. The lesson Jesus teaches us in the gospel that it's not enough for us not to do evil. We have to do good. As St. Paul tells St. Timothy in today's second reading, we have to pursue righteousness and fight that good fight of faith just as much as an athlete fights to win a championship. We have to sacrifice ourselves for those who are needy. We have to look past ourselves, identify the needs of others, and do what God makes possible to remedy them. I remember very vividly a story from Montreal that took place early in my priesthood. It caused a lot of soul searching in Canada. And after I preached it, the day I heard about it, to the high school where I was a chaplain in Massachusetts, caused lots of soul searching in these teens too. A 16-year-old girl, after she'd been abducted, stripped, sexually assaulted, and badly beaten, was dumped out of a van on a sidewalk in the downtown financial district shortly before rush hour. She had no pants on and just a simple shirt. As she lay quivering on the sidewalk, people walked around her. Some people stared at her and perhaps mumbled to themselves what the world was coming to. Several employees from the offices on the corner noticed her, but they thought that she was just a drug addict or a prostitute who had had a bad night, and they left her alone. A few secretaries from the office across the street saw her and asked their boss if they should call an ambulance, but their boss commanded them not to get involved because they were on the clock and he didn't want them wasting time talking to police. Countless people passed her on the street, but no one did anything. Other things, they doubtless thought, were more pressing, more important. This young girl lay there on an unseasonably cold spring morning for about 2 hours. Finally, one of the women in the office complex across the street, at the risk of losing her job, called the police. The paramedics rushed the poor girl to the hospital, where because of all the delay in getting her treatment, she fell into a coma and died. For several days afterward, Canadian commentators on television, radio, and the newspapers were asking what the circumstances of her death said about their country and about typical Canadian politeness. In a country in which almost everyone is Christian, at least in name, no one had stepped up as a good Samaritan. No one had proven to be a Christian in fact. And this poor girl died as a result. The question for us is what we do when we see that people are in need of help. We can't walk more than a few blocks here in Manhattan without meeting people who are in real need. People who are sleeping on the streets. People who depend on others' generosity just to get a meal. Every night we have three men sleeping at the entrances of the church. During the winter we have many women who sleep in our hall. Do we take responsibility for them? Or do we ignore them and pretend as if they're Mayor de Blasio's problem or Governor Cuomo's problem or President Trump and the federal government's problem? We're now living in an internet age in which we can all see tragedies happening throughout the country and the world all at once. We see a news report of terrorists burning Christian churches or bombing them with Christians worshiping inside. And we're tempted to turn the channel. We read about governments severely repressing their people. And while we're outraged, we wash our hands and pretend as if it's none of our business. We know that 850 million people in the world, one out of every nine, are chronically malnourished. And 155 million kids will go to bed tonight hungry. But we say, there's nothing I can do. We recognize that each year in our country alone, more than 638,000 babies made in God's image and likeness are killed through abortion, one every 49 seconds. But we turn a deaf ear to their silent screams. The magnitude of the need can sometimes make us turn inward toward ourselves, mind our own business, and divest ourselves of responsibility and Christian loving concern. Pope Francis is trying to wake us up and wake the whole world up to what he calls the globalization of indifference. When he went to the small Italian island of Lampedusa, where over 20,000 people have died on a perilous 16-hour journey on a rough stretch of the Mediterranean, packed as sardines, mostly on pirate smuggling vessels, able to hold only 20% of those they pack on board. He pointedly asked, "Who is responsible for the blood of these brothers and sisters of ours?" We answer, "Nobody." "Isn't me. I don't have anything to do with it. Must be someone else, but it's certainly not me." Today, he says, no one in our world feels responsible. We've lost a sense of responsibility for our brothers and sisters. We've fallen into the hypocrisy of the priest and the Levite, whom Jesus describes in the parable of the Good Samaritan. We see our brother half dead on the side of the road, and perhaps we say to ourselves, "Poor fella." But then we go on our way. It's not our responsibility, he says. And with that, we feel assuaged and reassured. The culture of comfort, which makes us think just of ourselves, makes us insensitive to the cries of other people. Indeed, it leads to the globalization of indifference. We have become used to the suffering of others. It doesn't affect us. It doesn't concern us. We say, none of my business. Where does this indifference come from? How can so many in our world, including so many disciples of Jesus Christ, get to the point where we fail chronically to be good Samaritans? Where our hearts are no longer touched by the misfortune of others? Where even if we fail to do something, we fail to weep over others' misfortune when we notice it. The Holy Father spoke about this during an international gathering for catechists in St. Peter's Square. And he based his response to that question, where does it come from, on the first reading from the prophet Amos in today's gospel. Amos says, as you remember hearing today, "Woe to the complacent in Zion, those who feel secure lying upon beds of ivory." Pope Francis commented, "These are harsh words that the prophet Amos speaks. Yet they warn us of a danger we all face, the danger of complacency, comfort, worldliness in our lifestyles and in our hearts, of making our well-being the most important thing in our life." This was the case of the rich man in the gospel. The poor man at his doorstep who had nothing to relieve his hunger was not his problem. It didn't concern him. Whenever material things, money, worldliness, become the center of our life, they take hold of us. They possess us. And we lose our very identity as human beings. The solution to this complacency is not just doing something for the poor. The solution is remembering God. And in God, rediscovering who we really are and who others really are, made in His image and likeness, and so valuable to Him, He would climb Calvary 1,000 times today and die a death 1,000 times more gruesome just to save them. And if He cares for them enough, can't we just slow down in our busy life, learn the person's name, and see how we can help? Today's gospel, the Lord wants us to overcome our apathy toward others, our indifference, our neglect, our lack of responsibility in Christian love. Jesus is never indifferent to us. He never forgets us. He left heaven to come down to save each of us lost sheep because each of us is infinitely valuable to Him. He wants to help us to learn how to love others in the same truly Christian way. But for this to occur, we've got to be willing to respond to His help to overcome our selfishness, to learn to put others' needs ahead of our own, to take responsibility. Our prayer needs to change. So we remember God and remember others and seek to pray more for those in need. How we spend our money needs to change. So we remember that everything we have is a divine depository placed in our hands. And start as good stewards to give more away for the needs of others than we spend on our own wants. The way we celebrate the Mass needs to change. So we begin to pay attention much more to those who are needy in our own community, as we receive Jesus' body and blood, and thereby learn how to do this in His memory, giving our own body, giving our blood, giving our time, giving our resources out of love for them. At the very end of today's gospel, the rich man asks Abraham to send Lazarus to his five brothers to warn them that they have to be charitable, or else they have to care for the poor, or they will go to hell. That they need to overcome the indifference to the plight of those in need, lest they join him in the place of flame. Abraham, for God, replied that his brothers have Moses and the prophets. They have the entire sacred scripture, we could say, which testifies to the fact that the Lord expects us to care for the sick, the hungry, the naked, the oppressed, the imprisoned, the blind, the strange, the widowed, and all those in need. The rich man, however, knew that that wouldn't be enough for his brothers, because his brothers, just like he used to, ignored the Word of God and ignored the poor. They were, in short, ignoring the Lord. "But if someone from the dead goes to them," the rich man says, "then they will repent. Abraham replied, however, that if they were deaf to the law and the prophets, if they were deaf to God's voice speaking through his emissaries, then they would be unmoved even by the appeals of someone resurrected. Well, today, we receive what the five brothers in the story didn't. Not only do we have Moses and the prophets to speak to us about charity, and Amos and the song, but Jesus, risen from the dead, has come to us to proclaim this gospel live. Let us act on his words. God, who calls us to remember him and to love others as good Samaritans, will give us all the help he knows we need. We have to respond to that grace to put God and others ahead of ourselves. Embracing the Lord's insistence today, let us begin to notice those in need, to love them, to cross the street, and to take responsibility for them. This is the path that, when it comes time for our judgment, will enable Jesus to wave each of us to his right for having cared for him in the person of others. This is the way that we may take our seat with all those eating not just scraps from the master's table, but sharing in the sumptuous eternal wedding banquet for which this Mass is a foretaste. I finish with one thought. When I was a priest in Massachusetts, constantly in my car, driving everywhere, I didn't have the privilege I do in Manhattan. The Lord makes our being charitable so easy here. Let's be his hands as we pass out his love. Praise be Jesus Christ.